pray. When I was a kid growing up, my parents did not bring us to church. They did not teach us about the faith. And so I was not blessed to be tucked in bed at night and to have someone say my prayers with me. That never happened to me. If you're a parent or if you're a grandparent or if you have any influence over anybody in your life, I highly suggest that you tuck them in bed at night and pray with them. Teach them how to pray. We should all pray. And I feel as if my prayer life has been stunted because I did not know even about prayer until I was much older. And I wasn't sure why people prayed, and I wasn't sure how to pray. And I didn't know a whole lot about prayer. But prayer is instrumental in a Christian's life. It's something that we all should do all the time. And so you should pray. You know, Martin Luther prayed, according to his writings, he said he prayed 3 hours a day in the morning. Before he started his day, he would spend 3 hours in prayer with God. I would hear that word about Martin Luther, and it would convict me to my soul, because I would think to myself, how can anybody spend 3 hours in prayer at the beginning of the day? That's crazy. Like for me, my best part of the day is the morning. That's when I'm most creative. That's when I'm most alive. That's when things happen. And I'm supposed to spend that time in prayer? You're crazy. So I didn't. But Martin Luther did. You know, as a monk, he would pray 7 times a day. He would pray the orders of the day. They would pray all the time. I remember when I was in college at Arizona State University, I know. But, okay, get it out. All right, so... But one of my professors was a Muslim, and he would pray 3 times a day. He would close his door, he would take out his prayer rug, face Mecca, and pray 3 times a day. And when he told me this, I was always convicted because I knew I should pray. I knew as a follower of God, of Jesus Christ, that I should pray to the Father in heaven, but I didn't. I wasn't at all praying like he did, and it would convict me. You should pray. You really should pray. I know that Martin Luther prayed 3 hours a day, but it didn't seem to really impact his ability to do things that much. For example, if you look at Martin Luther and the number of sermons that he wrote and the number of unique sermons that he gave, he probably preached 3 unique sermons a week. He also translated the whole entire New Testament and Old Testament from the Latin into his native tongue, the German. He also led the Reformation. And he did all of that by praying 3 hours a day. It makes you wonder, why did he pray so much, and did it have an impact on his ability to do what he did? Today we're starting a new sermon series. I've been waiting for a long time to preach this sermon series to you because it is so exciting for me. We're going to talk about prayer. And in getting into prayer, we're going to look at the prayer, which is the Lord's Prayer, the one that Jesus taught us to pray. And today I'd like to just look at, we're just going to start today, but I'm going to look at 4 quick things. And it comes out of our reading today. The first one is, when should we pray? All right? The next one is, where should we pray? What should we pray? And why should we pray? So real quickly, when should we pray? If you look at Scripture, Jesus prayed all the time. I mean, he just seemed to, when it was time, he would stop and he would pray. But it does say in Scripture there were certain times when he did pray. One of them was always early in the morning. Sometimes Jesus would rise early, he would go out into the wilderness, and he would pray. And there was also times when Jesus would go out in the evening at sunset and he would pray and he would stay in prayer all night. When is a good time to pray? Those are all good times to pray. But certainly a time to think about praying would be in the morning or the evening. If you look at Scripture, though, it says we should pray at all times. One of my favorite musicals, at least the first half, I don't like the second half, but one of my first my favorite musicals is Fiddler on the Roof. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it's about Tevye, and he's this Jew that's living in Russia. And in the first half, he's just trying to, you know, he's wrestling with God. And all the time, he's praying to God. He's talking to God. When he's milking the cow, he's talking to God. When he's working in the fields, he's talking to God. All the time, he's talking to God. That's what prayer is. Prayer is talking to God whenever and however you feel it. Just reach up and talk to the God. That's what prayer is. Now, I know most of you probably have jobs where you can't do that. I understand. It would look really strange if you're sitting there programming on your computer screen and you're talking to God at the same time. They might think that you're kind of weird. I understand that. But if you had the opportunity to talk to God all day, I highly recommend that you spend your time in prayer all day. So when to pray? All the time. But really good in the morning or in the evening. Where to pray? Now, this is interesting. We're going to go to our reading this morning. And Jesus said, when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. Jesus says there's a lot of people out there that are praying because they just want to show off. He says, but when you pray, go to your secret place. Find a place where you can be in the presence of God and just simply pray to Him. As I said earlier, when Jesus prayed, He tended to go to the mountainside. I don't know if you know, there's several times in Scripture where it says Jesus woke up early in the morning or late at night and He went to the mountainside and He went to pray. Now, I will tell you, I do not think it's an accident that Jesus went out into the mountainside to pray. Because I believe that God created the mountainside for prayer. I believe that God created nature for prayer. I don't believe it's an accident that when God created man, that He put him in the garden. Because it was in the garden where man communed with God on a daily basis, on an hourly basis, and felt the presence and walked with God in the garden. And I believe that it's in the garden, communing with God, that God can do amazing things in your life. Have an interesting story. There was a guy who dropped off some wood flooring for our building. And I must have a sign over my head that looks like, please talk to me, I'm a pastor. I mean, I was just walking by and he had to tell me this story. And apparently he'd had a stroke. And the doctor said, you are going to have to spend months and months and months in physical therapy to get through this stroke. And the doctor said, you'll get through it, I think, maybe, but you've got to go. And the guy said, okay, fine. And he got in his car and he drove all the way to the coast in Mexico. And he spent a month walking in the beach, up and down the beach. This is what he's telling me. And he said at the end of a month, he came back to the United States, he went to the doctor, he was completely healed. The doctor says, I don't understand how this is possible. This was supposed to take a year, but you look like you are completely free of this stroke stuff, because half his face was paralyzed, half his body was paralyzed. And he said, well, I went down to Mexico and I started walking up and down the beach and I started communing with God. The doctor said, well, it must be that the sand in your feet must have massaged the bottom of your heels and it was the fresh air that came in from the ocean. That must have been it. But I don't think so. I believe that he spent his time in the presence of the Almighty Creator of the universe and let the Creator of the universe work in his body. That's what I believe. So what? Where to pray? I highly suggest that when it comes time to pray, it's good to do it in your secret space, it's, you know, wherever you can. But if you can get out into God's creation and pray, I highly recommend it. I highly recommend it. What to pray? Jesus says, when you pray, this is verse 7, And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases, as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard by their many words. You know, the Eastern religions, when they pray, they do a couple things. One is that they hum these things called mantras to clear their mind. That somehow getting in touch with God is completely clearing your mind. That's not what Jesus would do. Jesus had grown up as a Jew and knew that as he was growing up that God had told the Jewish nation that they should meditate on his word day and night. And so God told the Jews, think of the words that I've given you, and that's what I want you to meditate on day and night. And so Jesus, when he would pray, would think about all the words of God. And that's what he would think about. It was a way for him to have the word of God penetrate deeply into his life. And so what I say to you is what you pray, first and foremost, should be the word of God. Absolutely. It shouldn't be empty drivel. It should be the word of God. You say, well, what of the word of God should I pray? Well, that is a great question. And we're going to actually spend the whole entire next 5 weeks, because it's the season of Lent, going through the model prayer. And the model prayer is the Lord's Prayer. And a lot of people throughout history have seen the Lord's Prayer as kind of like an incantation, that if you say it 5 times quickly, rubbing your head, great things will happen to you. But that is not what Jesus, when Jesus said, when you pray, the disciples said, what should we pray? And Jesus said, well, here are the things that you should pray for. And so he gave them a model of prayer. Now, many of you say, well, the model I use is Acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. And some of you have other models. Models are great. Have no problem with models. But if you're going to have a model prayer, might I suggest that you go to the Lord's Prayer and look at each element of the Lord's Prayer and say, why would I pray this particular piece? And we're going to do that. We're going to spend the next 5 weeks talking about that. But the first piece is this: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I have to tell you that my prayer life has been horrible most of my life. It's embarrassing to tell you. I know I've been a pastor for 12 years. Before that, I was an engineer. Engineers and prayer don't necessarily mix. Because engineers, if they're going to pray, they want something to come out of it. If I'm going to pray to God for this, then I want this to happen. And God doesn't always do this. When you talk to God and you pour out your heart to God, he doesn't always do what you think he should do. God does what God wants to do, because he's God and we're not. But something strange happened in my life. It was a number of years ago. We decided to go on a youth hike, and we went on the Arizona Trail. If you have not been on the Arizona Trail, I highly suggest that you do that. We went on the Arizona Trail, and this was a time in my life when I had started taking this drug for my thyroid that had shut off my thyroid, and so weight was gaining on my body like you have no business. I think I gained about 30 or 40 pounds from my normal weight, or from the weight I had most of my life, and I just felt horrible. And so I'm walking on this trail with some kids and some parents, and I'm like, hey, I enjoy this. This is really good. So I got home and I said, you know, what would happen if I did that every day? I wonder if I'd stop ballooning in my weight. So I kind of said, you know, I think I'm going to do that. I think I'm just going to wake up in the morning and really quickly go out for a walk and come back. And so I started waking up in the morning. Now you have to understand that my morning is my most creative time. My morning time is the time where I feel like I can accomplish anything. And so I do a lot of my research in the morning. I do a lot of my reading in the morning. I do a lot of my preparation in the morning. And I'm like, well, but I'm going to take this little detour, and I'm just going to walk. And I'm going to do that. But hey, because I'm a type A personality, because I still want to do all my research and all that, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to put in earphones, and I'm going to listen to books on tape. So I kind of did some research. One of the guys I've really been wanting to listen to, his name is Seneca. He's a moral philosopher. He wrote these letters, and so I started listening to Seneca. And it didn't seem like the right thing to do. I did that for about 4 months, got through his writings. Like, no, you know, this is time with God. Maybe what I should be doing is listening to the Psalms. So I put the Psalms in my ear, and I started walking, listening to the Psalms. It was wonderful, great time, awesome time, but it didn't seem right. So I said, well, maybe I need to be listening to the Psalms in the original language of Hebrew. You know, I had to take Hebrew in seminary. I haven't really brushed up with it that well. Maybe I should just listen to the Psalms in Hebrew. Maybe there's something about listening to it in Hebrew that's going to just fill me up. So you can actually find the Psalms in Hebrew, right? So I found them and put them on my phone, listening, walking, you know, listening to the Psalms in Hebrew, and it just didn't do anything for me. That's horrible. Now, you have to understand that where I live, I'm able to get out into Cienega Creek Preserve and out into the state lands and all that over to the east side of where we are here. And there's this place that I would go to. There's a place that I love to go to that's on top of this lookout, and I can look out all over Cienega Creek and sit there and watch the sunrise. So I'm walking to this place one morning, and I'm sitting there, I'm waiting for the sunrise, and I'm feeling guilty that I haven't really listened to anything. You know, the Psalms weren't doing it, Psalms in Hebrew weren't doing it, Seneca wasn't doing it, and all of a sudden, it's like God said, why do you feel you need all that stuff? He said, why don't you just put all that stuff away and spend time with me? You know, I want your full attention. I don't want this other stuff. Why don't you just sit there and enjoy the sunrise with me? I put it all away and I waited for the sunrise to come up, and it came up. And I started doing that over and over again. And it was the weirdest, craziest thing I've ever done, because it's in those moments when I am there communing with God where I realize how much He loves me, where I realize that this whole beautiful creation that He created for me, where I can look out and I can say, I'm a child, I'm a member of the kingdom of God, and He loves me with all His might. There's no power on heaven and earth can ever separate me from His love, because I'm His precious child. I'm a child of the King. That's my identity. It's not I'm a father. It's not that I'm a pastor. It's not that I'm an engineer. All the other stuff that I've clung to as my identity. My identity, first and foremost, is that I'm a child of God. Now, that may not seem like much, but for me in my life and who I am, that was transformative. Because for so long in my life, I've wanted to make sure that I please everybody and do everything and use this great big brain that God gave me to do all the things that I need to do and make sure that I'm doing them all well. And the fact is, I don't have to. All I have to do is to be a child of the King. All I have to do is know that there's nothing, there's no power on earth can ever separate me from His love. And folks, when you know that, when you know that the Almighty God, Creator of the universe, loves you and you are His special, precious child, and He created all of creation for your enjoyment, He created the sunrise and the moon set because He loves you, it is transformative in your life. At least it was transformative in my life. Because I know that there's no power on earth can ever separate me from His love. I'm a child of the King. I almost feel as Luther did when he wrote his hymn, A Mighty Fortress, that take my life, my good, my fame, my child, my wife, let it all be gone. As long as God is in my life, that's all that matters. It is freeing. It is incredible. And it all comes from spending time with God in prayer and understanding the meaning of that first part of the petition, Our Father who art in heaven, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Praise You, God, for all that You've done in my life and all I need in my life, first and foremost and only, is You. is you. I've been wanting to tell you that story for a long time because it has been transformative in my life. I've wanted to tell you for a long time that you should pray that because of Jesus Christ's sacrificial death on the cross, that he came on this earth and he made you his child, you now have the ability to stand in front of God anytime you want to, and he will be there for you anytime. But I highly recommend you go someplace like out in the wilderness and spend time with God. You should pray. Not because it's going to earn you any sort of salvation or anything like that. You should pray because you can. Because your Father loves you. He wants to be there for you. And he wants to work in your life and be there with you every step of the way. His name, amen. Responding to God's word, we receive our tithes and our offerings.